Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdville. How's everybody doing out there today? Looking forward to an exciting show today. I'm here with your co-hosts, Adam Beebe and Barry Johnston. Hello, guys.
What's up?
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for calling in. Jeff is calling in from Sedona, a very weird place here on this planet.
Yeah, we've got some vortexes out here that I've yet to experience, but I'm going to see if I can't jump in one of those at some point during this trip.
He told us about a UFO tour that his wife wants to go on, where they're guaranteed to see a UFO or money back,
and do
we're trying to push him. We're trying to push him to do that.
Well, the voice you just heard there was our star of the show today, Mr. Corey. Corey, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Hey, Corey, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Corey is an old friend of mine. We've known each other for probably about, I'd say, 12 years now. We met in law school. Corey is from Texas, South Texas. He now works with my wife, and so we've never lost touch. We've been good, solid friends for the last 12 years, and we're excited to have him on the show today.
Excited to be here.
You sound it. Excited to be here. All right. There we go. Okay, well, should we go ahead and kick this off, guys?
Let's do it.
Okay. Corey, thanks for coming on today. What's your weird story?
Well, so as Jeff said, I'm from like a small town in Texas, just south of Houston, and ghost stories are a big deal down there. You know, there's Bailey's Prairie, the lady in the Great Taffeta dress. Anyway, so I grew up in a house with my mother and my grandmother. They always were looking for paranormal activity. So like they would spend hours just recording, like just on the old cassette tapes, just like when they leave their house and listen for it, because my grandmother lived in some old creepy house, and we always lived in creepy houses, but I mean, you wouldn't believe how many tapes they'd play to do that. So growing up, it was always like, we're always kind of looking for ghosts and, you know, playing on that side of it. My mom always, it's a little weird. It's a weird small town shit, but like would always say that she used to be in like dark magic, but she didn't anymore because she had found Jesus. And now they were just basically ghost hunting. So we were all part of that. But anyway, growing up,
it sounds like a kind of a fun environment to grow up in with your grandma trying to find ghosts and recording on those tapes and stuff. And I can't even imagine either one of my grandmas, and Barry and Jeff have both met them. They're both passed, but I can never imagine either one of mine doing anything near.
They loved it. That's like what they did. They smoked cigarettes and listened to those tapes, man. Wow.
That's fun. That's fun.
So awesome.
And they always, awesome. We weren't allowed to talk about it in front of my grandpa, because my grandma used to always say, I'll get in trouble if your grandpa knows we did this. So don't say anything about us taking all these.
That's awesome.
Anyway, so I grew up in this, like, always looking for ghosts kind of thing. But when I was about, I had to be in kindergarten, so I guess that's what, six years old or five or six?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, my parents, we moved a lot. We moved into this rental house, and we just had a lot of weird stuff go on. One of the first things I remember is so I'm a family of six, so they were, you know, two girls, two boys, and then my parents. So this was like, I guess, a really three-bedroom house, but it was, they made it into four, like where the den connected between mine and my sister's room. Anyway, we'll get to that point. Anyway, I remember one time walking by my brother's room, which was really truly the master bedroom to the house. And the room, like, I don't know how to describe it because you're only listening to my words, but was like almost like a fun house, just going back and forth, tilting. I know you can't see my hands on the podcast, but I'm, you know, just a rocking back and forth and walking by it. And I remember just thinking, was I seeing that? I remember telling my mom, you know, Mom, I went by that room and it was shaking. It was crazy. It was like the whole room. Just kind of a scary, weird feeling.
So it's like what you're describing to, you know, it sounds like it's where, like when you said at the fun house, where you go in and the room is moving back and shifting.
But I was outside the room, so it was just from the door frame, like in. And it was just a weird thing. And I remember telling my mom how freaked out I was about it. And she's like, well, you're just seeing things.
That's wild.
Yeah. That is weird.
Wow.
And so then another time, this was a weird one. My brother, we were kids, obviously. I was probably six, so he's probably 12 or 13. I think he was on the toilet. My mom had, you know, back then you decorated your house with all that Avon crap. You know, it was in a blue bottle and you never knew what was in it. But it was always in the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Well, he was, I guess, taking a dump and playing with like a bottle of it. And then he spilt it all over himself. And I remember telling my mom that he did it like he felt like somebody like pushed it and forced it on him. And of course, it like burned him like fire because only God knows what was an Avon bottle. I remember mostly, the bottle, but I'm not sure what the hell you did with it. Like
mostly alcohol from what I remember, man.
My grandmother used to sell Avon. She was a big Avon lady. And so her whole house was Avon stuff. And she had a room and it was just shelves of stuff, you know, and I'd always gravitate toward like it looked like toy stuff, you know, but they're filled bottles with like whatever it was, whatever the stuff was, you know.
Yeah, they had all the shaped bottles and like you had a dog guns. And you took the head off and then pour it out.
Yeah,
that's
right. But they had some that were like guns mounted to like the wooden board, even, and that was perfume too.
Yeah, yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah, that's great.
Anyway. So then around the same, we didn't live in this house very long. I bet we didn't live in this house, but like 6 months. It started to turn into like one of those Amityville horror houses where you just kind of wanted to get out. One day my little sister came home from school and as she walked across, we had like, I guess from the entryway through the dining room kitchen area to the back to where her bedroom was, the whole ceiling caved in.
What?
Like the whole thing, like it was the square tiles. I don't know if you remember that also in the 80s that they would replace the ceiling with, but it came in right after she walked by. Like she had it in her hair after having walked through that room.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then one night, because I was trying to tell you earlier that my bedroom was like connected to like the door to my bedroom, you had to go through my parents' bedroom, if that makes sense. It was kind of like a back den. I mean, I'm not telling you we grew up in some lavish house. I'm telling you my parents lived in one of the living rooms. I'll tell you something. And I remember laying in bed because I could see my parents like where I laid to their bed. And I remember waking up scared to death and looking into my parents' room and like this white premonition, like coming, rising out of my mother, looking over towards me, laying in the bed with like, it was like a, I don't want to say what, because the premonition was white, but the eyes were like a yellow. I don't even know how to describe it, but you could see the, like it was like her, but like a gray, but like the eyes were like yellow, just staring at me as I'm laying there in bed.
Holy shit.
That was super freaky. Imagine six and your mom looks at you with like a demon inside of her.
So,
damn.
So it was, I guess it was full bodied, like you could see that it was your mom with gray skin and glowing yellow eyes.
Well, I knew it was my mom's body there in the bed, but like whatever it was, like looked over at me, like sat up and looked over at me, and it was like the scariest like seconds. I'm sure that I sat there and just, you know, held my eyes closed and prayed that it would go away.
Wow. That's freaky, man.
That is, man. Did it look like your mother, or was it completely?
All I could see was like the gray of it. So it wasn't like I could see like its face and like her features. It was just the eyes of what I could really see.
Wow. So it was kind of like a mist or something, or it's, I mean, I know you said you were six, so it's been a while, but I mean, obviously it's been impactful.
I don't mean to say like a mist. It wasn't like foggy and I couldn't tell the line. Like I could see the shape. but it was more, I don't know, pale, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
I those eyes staring at me, I didn't look at it all that long. It was pretty damn terrifying, actually.
Understandable. Really.
Oh, shit.
I don't know, under the covers or out the door or something, but
right. Yeah, I couldn't get out. I had to go through that room. It was terrifying. So this is the same house.
Uh-huh.
And so as we live there, we find out that the guy who apparently had lived there before us, who had built the place and lived there for years, had actually died in the front yard trying to pull a stump with a tractor, and he pulled the tractor over on himself.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
Shit.
So he had died there. So then we find that out as we're going through this. Well, one night, this is my poor sister. I can't even imagine. She was 10. I was 6. This is my middle sister, so the one right above me. Yeah, she'd be about 10 or 11. When I came home, and mind you, this was like 30 years ago, so it's hard for me to completely remember. But I guess my mom had started talking to her, and she was refusing to talk to her and was only like staring at the lamp, like the light in the lamp. And she wouldn't. And then she would say a couple of just like really mean. I remember the way my sister looked. It was scary for me being a kid, like, man, you know, something's really wrong. Well, it turned out. So my mom, my grandmother was super religious. And my parents, like I said, she used to do black magic. But now she was in like this full gospel hooping and hollering. Everything but dancing with snakes kind of church. And they may have been dancing with snakes. I don't know. Come over, and they determine that my sister is demonically possessed.
What?
Yeah. So we have my grandmother, who is like the sweetest, most like Southern Baptist woman you could ever meet. Like, you know, the good food, you know, it just so wholesome. And then the preacher comes over, and they do. They commence an exorcism on my sister to get that demon out of her. And it was violent, man. I mean, they were like,
wow,
laying hands on her. She's shaking, screaming, you know, and they're, you know, rubbing the oil on the doors and screaming for the demon to get out and to leave the house.
Oh, man.
I'm 6 years old, man.
Yeah.
Dude, that is traumatic, man.
Yeah. Imagine Hannah watching y'all do that.
Well, I had when I was growing up, I had a my dad's cousin who was what you'd call a charismatic minister, what you're talking about, speaking in tongues and stuff like that. And he took me to one of his services, and he would take trips over to Africa to basically exorcise people. And so my dad takes me to one of these services where they're all like jumping around and they're all like talking in tongues and stuff, and it freaked me the fuck out, man. I didn't have any idea what was going on. I was just like, what is this, man? Like, I had no context for it. So I'm sure, like, as a young kid watching that and then watching your sister being exercised is like, that just doesn't, there's nothing about that that computes. There's nothing about that that makes any sense, you know?
Right.
Good.
Now, I'm guessing that her head didn't spin around or anything like that. But do you remember if she was like, if she was speaking other languages, or she had that demon voice, or threw up, or anything weird? Like,
I can remember her looking at me, which was scary as hell. Like, really? Just like something's going on. Like, wow. I don't know what it is. You know, if it takes a preacher and my grandma beating her to death with, you know, Jesus, do it.
Is that something that all of a sudden came on? Like, just boom, it happened? Or was this a slowly gradual process? Really? Just happened?
It just happened, you know? Wow. Mom was talking to her, and she got locked into that demon's light in that lamp. And
wow, man.
It got her.
I don't think we haven't had one of these stories yet.
I don't think we've had any kind. I expected some possession at some point, but I didn't realize we haven't had it yet. Yeah.
Wow. It was legit. Like, my sister always said she couldn't remember anything from that. She said she remembered staring into the light, and that was like all she could remember.
Yeah.
how long, you know, okay, so they notice something's going on, right? I mean, right. How long did it take for them to call in the preacher? Was it a couple days, or, I mean, did it happen that night? Because, I mean, you'd almost have to think, well, maybe she's just tired, you know. Let's put her to bed.
Right.
And we'll see what happens tomorrow. Was it the same day, or what was the deal?
First, I appreciate the question of, what do we see first if she's just tired?
It's logical.
I don't know if anybody thought, you know what, maybe she's hangry.
Let's get her a peanut butter jelly sandwich and see what happens.
Maybe I'll snap that demon out of her. Well, it was that same evening. Okay. Because I can remember that it was coming home from school to that evening. I mean, I think I was able to get up the next. I mean, I was still up. I was 6 o'clock. But, you know, there's a lot going on in the house. They probably forgot to put me to sleep. You know, there's a demon here now. So, but I remember it all being resolved that night. Like, obviously, none of us could sleep until that demon.
Yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of commotion going on with the casting out of the tainted souls that have there.
Oh man, it was so violent. I remember like the reading from the scripture and this, you know, he would be speaking in tongues and my grandmother was just trying to like, you know, I guess be the good cop. I don't know. I'm not sure really how you attack a demon through a person, but they did it.
Wow.
So, but it was, as I realize now in my older age that not everybody has experienced an exorcism.
No.
I feel like that's a weird story people should hear.
Yeah. Well, it was a story, especially in the 80s, that you heard a lot about, but you never actually sort of saw, like you're never in the presence of it. But you heard a lot about this stuff. I think some of it was from the Satanic Scare, you know, that whole thing that we had in the 80s with the, you know, people against heavy metal music and, you know, but I remember vividly my dad, for whatever reason, man, he made me watch The Exorcist when I was like 5 or 6 years old. I was really young, man.
Oh, shit.
And he made me watch that movie to scare me, I think, in order to sort of like say, hey, if you don't have God in your life, this is what, you know, this is what happens, you know. But to this day, I can't. It was so fucked up. Like, I still can't watch that movie. It's really disturbing. I mean, it's such an intense movie, man. But it was like, you would hear these stories about that happening, and it just used to just really scare me to the core that like something could come into your body and take control over you, and there was nothing you could do about it. And you just have to fucking pray that whoever's trying to get it out of you knows what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, dude. You loved it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
you have to just pray that whoever's playing that demon out knows what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Or else they'd get killed or whatever. You know, remember that priest threw himself out the window? You know, it's like, God dang, man. But
I don't remember it being that violent. I do remember them sitting on her and holding her down.
Wow.
So as this 10-year-old girl, you know, and it wasn't. Yeah. It's what's weird is if my family went on like that wasn't anything weird that it happened. What'd y'all do last week? Well, Mandy got that demon, and that's most of the week.
Yep, they spent all night exercising her. We couldn't even watch Growing Pains.
Corey, you don't think that maybe they hit record on the tape recorder during that, do you?
You know what? I should ask. That's a good question. Yeah. Somewhere there's still a box. They preserved all those tapes.
Wow. Man. Okay. That's so
amazing.
Okay, to go back to the house a little bit, like, so the one guy died, right? That lived there before. Do you know of any other stuff that happened there before? Like, do you know any other history of the house?
That was all I ever remember knowing about the house. After the Exorcist, we did move.
Okay.
I think then it was time.
Yeah.
And was your sister ever invaded? But maybe that's not a good word. Did she ever come up with any kind of the forces of darkness again?
No. She did die at an early age. Maybe that demon
Oh, damn, dude. Oh.
I don't know. You know, you got to look at life. But did that have something to do with it? We may never know.
Yeah, wow. That's true.
Sorry, wow. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
She never really got bothered again. We lived after that. We moved to this like, who's this old, big like ranch house. It was still no Borden Milk. That's a Texas brand. But yeah. Have you ever heard of Borden?
Yeah.
So it was like, oh yeah, yeah.
So it was their big family ranch. It was like 300 acres. Well, we rented it, the house part that had like the maid's quarters and the garage and all that. It was kind of a spooky house because you were in the middle of nowhere. And she said once that she always heard a ghost playing na 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 na. You know that song? Hey,
yeah.
Hey, hey.
Yeah.
Good. So she always claimed that ghost would play that all the time, and freak her out, and her bed would shake. But in that house, I know, right? I know. My poor sister, she's tormented.
Man.
But in that, so we never had any of that scary exorcism stuff again that I can remember. I mean, my parents, as I grew up, would say that I had a demon in me that was like rebellious or something, but nothing. Right. Nothing where people got called over again.
Yeah. Right. That's the kind that can't get exercised.
Right. Those are just attitudes.
Yeah.
But one time, my brother and I had in that house, we had a bedroom that was like connected like Jack and Jill almost, but it had a hallway, a bathroom on one side, and a closet on the other. Mm. So from our beds, you could see each other. And we'd lay in there and he'd tell me a story or whatever. And I was laying in there one time with him. And I saw a man walk right through my bedroom, like right across, like right in front of my bed. And it freaked me out so bad. It was like that scary stuff, the shit you see on TV where the kids are drawing scary pictures. Like, what is that? I was drawing this man over and over, like trying to see if anybody knew who he was, kind of thing.
Oh, my wow. God, dude.
Wow. And my mom can put things together a little differently, but... She told me that she had asked the people, and the picture I'd drawn was Mr. Borden, who and other people had seen him walking like through their yard, but never in their house.
Holy shit!
But he was in like a suit. I still remember he had like long gray hair. I never saw his face, but he was like a nice black suit, white shirt, tie. And then, so I didn't sleep in that bedroom. I bet a year. I slept on my brother's floor. I was freaking out, man. Wow. I didn't want to be in there with that guy. Like, wake up and he's like hanging over my face or something. Like, oh no! Like that's what people get murdered. They go back, right?
Yeah. That's right. Shit. Yeah, that's what you in the scary movies you watch. You say, don't go back in there.
Right. Yeah. Right. I'm not going back in. Wow. And then my brother one time at that same house, same layout. He had a brother that was staying with us. I guess he had like family issues and he was staying there, but he was up on the phone talking to some girl, I guess at the foot of my brother's bed or walks past her. I'm not really sure. And he said that there was a black woman in a maid's outfit at the foot of my bed, scrubbing my floor. And it freaked him out so bad. So then I couldn't sleep in that room again for a long time because now we got maids in there cleaning.
Jesus.
Now, personally, I could probably go with having a ghost maid doing my floors and stuff. I'm not a big fan of doing my floors, but, you know, I think I could handle that now. But, you know, I mean, yeah. I would need some references, probably.
That is crazy.
Corey, get the references. I would think a ghost maid probably would do a half-assed job. What does she do? maid. But that was my last like ghost like encounter that I can remember. There may be something else later, but
wow,
those were the ones as a kid.
That's quite a few that you had. That's pretty intense, man.
That is intense. That's a lot more than I've ever had.
Yeah,
Jeff, that last house I bought a house where this lady, her husband, doused her with gas and lit her on fire, burned her to death. And I never felt creepy in that house. Well, I didn't find out until right before we were about to close. And I took my dogs over there because, you know, they say they sense stuff. And they went in the room where it was burned and they were fine. And the whole time I lived there, I never felt creepy. Sometimes in the basement, I'd feel like somebody was watching me. But
yeah,
I think that's just.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a basement.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah. I remember you telling me about. And that was your bedroom, right? Didn't that happen in your bedroom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You can Google it. It's called Judy Scrawl's killer's name in bed sheets. Yeah. Oh. I know, right? That'll make you not want to move in. That's when I brought the dogs over after I found that article.
Oh, wow. You would think that would be right up front. You know, you would think that, I guess maybe not. I don't know.
They have to disclose that to you, right?
No. It's only like if you're advertising it as haunted or whatever, then you have to do that. Because I didn't tell the lady who bought it for me until like right before, and then she found out. And I was like, oh, I didn't have to tell you. And she still bought it. It's fine.
Okay. Wow.
I thought that maybe it's different state to state, but I thought that some places if it's reportedly haunted.
Right. So don't make a scene of it. Really, if you're getting haunted, don't start putting it on a show like this and then not telling the owner.
Yeah, right.
If you're selling, if you're not selling, please come on and tell us all about it. Or if you've sold a house that was haunted, now you can tell it. But if you're in a process, maybe you should wait a few months.
Yeah, that's all my ghost stories, man. That's all I got.
That's cool, man.
Those are great.
Yeah. I'd say you're pretty perceptive, man. You know?
Yeah, for real.
To have that kind of stuff and that many stories, man. That's intense.
That was normal for me. Like, I'm telling you, the way my family and the church treated it, that's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what demons do. Right. That's why we try to go to church. Like you said, that's why you had to watch that movie.
Right. That's right.
And you know, it's interesting you said that that was normal. That was just the way things are. And you go to school and you know, you grow up and you realize that not everybody has a, you know, random Tuesday night exorcism, you know, for their older sister, you know. Obviously these are very weird things. We look at it as that, but you know, you said it was normal, and for everybody else out there who's, you know, maybe listening, you know, everybody thinks their life for the most part is really normal and boring. And that's because you've experienced it. You know it all. You've had it happen all to you. Maybe there's two or three things that were like really cool and really awesome. And, you know, those are the things you talk about, but you know, that's, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, thank you for coming on and sharing your normal story.
Yeah,
right. That's a good way to say it.
That's good.
One other thing that I think is great about the show, you know, I said that I've known Corey for 12 years, but I had never heard any of this from him. And it's just something, you know, people don't talk about in casual conversation. Mm-hmm. It takes something like this to really get you going. And I like that I got to hear that from you today, Corey. That's cool.
Go tell Noreen. She'll think I'm a weirdo.
Well, she'll love it. Noreen thinking you're a weirdo. That's not a bad thing. I mean,
I know. I appreciate it.
That's true.
Well, I mean, she's married to Jeff. Yeah.
That is very true. So her standards for weirdos are very high.
Or low.
Depends on how you look at it.
That's right.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker, chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story. Wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge, you know. They're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun. Well, do you have besides the one story, do you have anything else for us that or normal or otherwise that you could think of that you could share?
Hey, not really. Jeff thinks I should share this. When I was in high school, I had some friends over. I'm not that impressed. I mean, it's weird because my mom, like I said, was always into whatever, like witch, like ghost hunts and UFOs. And she came home and she worked a little bit further out. Where I'm from is a lot of like refineries and stuff. So you're in the middle of nowhere, really, down near the coast.
Yeah.
And she's like, Corey, I've been watching this light and it's there every night and it hovers and it moves and it's not a star, da da da. And so we got in the car one night, me and some friends and my mom. And well, she called first. Let's back up. First, she called the newspaper and said that we had found a UFO and we were going to go identify it near some beach, someplace weird, Bryan Beach or something. I don't even remember. Matagorda, maybe. So we get in the car and we go down there. I don't know how the newspaper found us. My mom must have given them the location, but we met them at some gas station because this was before cell phones.
Right.
Met at some gas stations, and there it is. I mean, you could see it, and you could get closer to it, so you could tell it was something, but it wasn't like – it didn't move, but it stayed right there. But it's too high to be on like a, you know, pole or anything.
Huh. Interesting.
And then so the paper article came out, and I'm on the front with my video camera. I guess we must have a videotape of that somewhere. I'd like to get a hold of that because my quote is in that newspaper, we're not weird. We found a UFO. You know, that was like the quote for me.
That's great.
So, but the report came back that somebody reported, I guess some branch of government, because down there, obviously for national security, I guess it was supposed to be some kind of blimp that was doing some kind of surveillance along the coast.
Right.
That's what they always say, man.
Yeah.
Well, I know that's what they say, but that's what they said.
But that's what they said.
Yeah, this is a blimp, man. It's there every night. It's totally a blimp. Just forget what you saw.
National security. Forget it.
So, yeah. That's great.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, man. I don't know. I mean,
is there
obviously
a picture of you in the newspaper?
Yeah, it's just at the, you know, at the top of the headline where it's like a little like a leader to get you to the second page. It's a picture like a cutout of my head holding the video recorder, and it says local residents spot UFO.
That's awesome.
That is pretty cool.
I have it in a yearbook somewhere. I'm gonna have to dig that out. Nice.
Hey, take a picture of it and send it to Hub, and we'll put it up on the Instagram and stuff if that's okay.
So, yeah, I'll see if I can find it.
That'd be pretty cool.
It was an exciting night though when you're looking for UFOs.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
When you found one.
Yeah.
It was an unidentified flying object.
Yeah. And that's right. That's what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing. Another thing we've talked about is how, in our general area and the Midwest in the West part of the country, definitely. But like in our general area, you see all types of stuff, all types of lights in the sky that you don't know what they are. You know, you learn what a satellite looks like. You learn what meteorites. You learn the regular kind of what planes look like and helicopters. But you often see things in the sky that do not behave like any of that other stuff. And by definition, they are UFOs. And we, all three of us, have seen weird things in the sky. Hub and I saw one together when we were freshman in college. And, you know, that was we told that story earlier in an earlier episode, but it was a weird experience. We certainly weren't expecting to see it. And then there it was. So,
yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do? You know,
yeah.
It is what it is.
Well, the only thing you can do is identify it. That's the best thing you can do for it, right?
And then call the newspaper and tell them you're not weird.
Yeah. So. And you can do that. Slow news day.
Yeah. Well, hey, Corey, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, no problem, man. This was fun.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. We really do. That was great, Corey. Yeah, great stories.
And if you have any recovered memories or any more new weird experiences, feel free to come back anytime. So
appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us. Make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience. We can have more friends. We can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story.
So I have this great idea. I've come up with a great idea. It's my idea.
And oh, is it?
Yeah. you guys kind of wanted to steal it. I'm still going to take credit for it. Okay. I see a live crowd. I'm just throwing this. I'm just spitballing. Uh-huh. Okay, I see a live crowd.
I'm listening.
Okay, I see fermenters. I see grain. I smell beer, and I've got this overwhelming sensation that people are going to want to share some stories.
This picture's becoming clearer in my mind.
Okay,
interesting. What kind of stories would they want to share in that particular setting?
Like, hold my beer story, you know what I mean? Like that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Like this one time I had a little too much to drink and stories.
Puke happened.
Yeah. Well, more than puke. Yeah. So what Barry's talking about is we are coming this in October. We are doing our first live event, and it'll be October 19th, 2019, at the Enid Brewing Company in Enid, Oklahoma, where Barry is one of the brewmeisters.
Yes.
And what we're going to be doing a live podcasting experiment event to where we have people, you listeners, and also us, the host, come up and tell short, funny stories about when maybe you had too much to drink. So
some great stories. I know you guys have had some great stories. Yeah.
I think I could probably think of one or two.
Yeah. I mean, I've never, whatever. But it'll be fun because there's definitely a lot of material to work with. But we also want to hear other people's stories. We want to hear them. And so this is a call for you guys, to the listeners, to to organize your thoughts around your own particular, beer story, and come and tell us and tell an audience and then tell the world. And we anticipate it to be a lot of fun. So what we're envisioning, what Barry's envisioning, because this is all,
remember, it's my idea, fuckers.
What Barry's envisioning is that it'll be kind of like an open night mic, where you pre-register, and we'll have as many people pre-register that we can, and you will limit your story to about roughly 5 minutes, which is really a long time to tell a story. So, you may be under five, you may go a little over, it's cool. But you come up to the mic when we call your name, and you get up there and you tell your story about, your funny story about when you had too much to drink, and or maybe something related. So, we ask that those who come up, keep it relatively PG-13. Mm-hmm. We don't need you to get too explicit about any of your exploits. You can tell us those later, but not in this public forum.
Yeah, it is all ages.
Yeah. And, it's an all ages brewery pub area. So, we want to be respectful. We want to be able to do it again if it's good, yeah. There's that. And so we'll be you know, we'll have you tell your stories, and then, you know, depending on how many people we have volunteer, if we're going to, you know, try to do it for, you know, a good amount of time, and we're going to record it. And we're also, if we have the time, we'll have people just come out of the audience, you know, and as long as you're not too drunk to tell your story and, you know, get lost while you're telling your own story, it's okay. It's all good. Yeah. So, and we're going to kick it off. We all have stories, several stories that we can tell.
Yeah.
And we'll initiate it. And then, you know, Barry's idea is that it's going to be a lot of fun.
If it isn't a lot of fun, it was your idea.
Okay? And if it's almost out, that's what I get.
No, it will be fun. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and you can, and beyond, you don't have to tell a story. We want to hear loads of stories. But if you just want to come out and listen to the stories, they'll be great, because you're going to get at least half an hour to an hour of the three of us telling stories, yeah. And you getting sampling all the fine locally produced beers there at the Union, yes. Brewing Company.
Yes.
And there's a variety of which that Barry can tell you about.
Yeah. We have a great variety of stuff, and we have some seasonal beers that we put on tap, and that time of the year is going to be in October, so we'll have our Oktoberfest, which is a fantastic beer.
That sounds great, man. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, and with it being that so close to winter, will there be a pumpkin spice beer? Because I know that's a lot of people.
Probably so, man. Yeah, we're probably going to do that. We'll have a stout. We're going to do an English bitter. We'll have an English bitter on draft, which is one of my favorite all-time beers. And, you know, just good, kind of good fall weather beer. We'll also have a couple of, you know, glasses of wine, different wines that we serve, you know, so it's just not beer. You know, we've got, we've got a little bit of everything. So a couple of ciders.
I know you guys have soda for the non-drinkers and the kids,
yes,
right?
Yes, and so. There will be food trucks are usually available for the night.
And you can bring those in?
Yep, you bring whatever you want in, go out and get you some food, bring it in, we don't care, you know, enjoy it, and drink some beers and hang out and laugh and have a good time.
Yeah, yeah. And if somebody's coming up from Kingfisher, you go to El Charro and pick me up a number 11. No con carne, just the cheese sauce on that cheese enchilada.
I love it.
You get free admission.
I love it, man. I love it.
You might just have 10 or 12 of those show up, buddy.
I'm complaining, man.
I got to say, the funniest thing is when Hubbard sent a group text message of plates that he was eating from El Charro, sending it to Adam, enticing him. And
I think every time I go, I send him a shot of that number 11. That's great. And I know what it does to him.
Yeah, it's pure pornography.
Gets him rock hard for sure. Yeah.
But no, I think this night's going to be great, guys. You know, usually when you go to a bar, you're sitting with some people that you know, and you know all of their stories. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, on a night like this, you're going to get to know a lot of people that you've never met before, and you're going to hear some, I think, really cool stories, because there's a lot of cool stories being told in bars, but it's never told to the whole bar. Yeah. So I think this is really going to be a great opportunity to really hear some cool stuff. Sure. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's a great point.
I'm excited. I'm flying down, you know, from Cincinnati there, and get OKC and probably crash at Hubs for the night, you know, before, and then
you can crash wherever you want,
and I crash. Yeah, you know, I'll see. I just won't crash a car.
Yeah, don't do that, buddy. I've seen that happen a few times.
Last time I had a car crash, I was 2 years old. And then, that's not true. I almost was in a car crash today, but it wasn't my fault. Somebody stopped at a yield sign off of a freeway exit, and like I literally came inches from hitting them. Damn. I mean, and the girl didn't even know that she almost got plowed from behind.
Wow.
Which sounds a lot worse than you say it like that, and I apologize. Hey, but anyway,
hey, man.
Yeah, that's the kind of that's, you know, we don't want to hear too much explicit talk like that. What's your fear story?
Yeah, let's not turn this into what's the Me Too story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, we don't need to get too blue or anything like that. You know, we got to keep it relatively clean, like I said. So anyway, this is what we're doing in October. It's going to be a nice cool time of the year. It's going to be there in Enid, Oklahoma. You know, we're probably going to have some prizes for our storytellers.
Yeah.
We may, if we have, you know, depending on the response, we may have some t-shirts to sell. You know, we'll be giving out like stickers and cool stuff. So there'll be a little bit of swag. There'll be a little incentive besides being, you know, hearing some good stories and telling some good stories and being on the podcast
and looking at all three of our hot asses.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I'm down about 20 pounds right now. So, you know,
yeah,
you'll be amazed. I don't know if you'll be amazed. Last time I was home, I was even skinnier than I am now. So.
I can't wait to see that ass.
Yeah, I know. So many times I wake up in the middle of the night and I'll turn around and Jeff's just there in the
licking his chops.
Yeah. Yep. And Noreen's behind him with a camera. So.
So what's the date on this again?
Saturday, October 19th, 2019, at the Enid Brewing Company in Enid, Oklahoma. It's at 126 South Independence Avenue. And yeah, come out, and we'll probably start. We don't know for sure just yet, but I would say probably around like 9. We got more people, we could start earlier, and you know. Yeah. The more the merrier, and the greater it'll be, and the more fun it'll be. And so we really hope to see a lot of friendly faces. We hope to see a lot of new faces. Yeah. So it'll be fun. And, you know, maybe we'll give a prize for the furthest traveled.
Hey,
if somebody comes in from,
are you excluded from, you'd
be, I am excluded okay, from okay. that. I will be excluded from that. Okay. You know, that would, oh, you know what? That would be the furthest traveled would should be like a flight of beer. Cause then, you know, it's kind of a pun. So, but I don't know, shooting from the hip here,
of course.
But yeah, so it's, you know, more details will come out, but this is the basic general idea, and we're really looking forward to it. Just, you know, again, I mean, us getting to hang out with each other will be just fun enough as it is. We're going to do it there on stage, and we want to hear from you guys, and we invite everybody to come out and, you know, hey, let us know. We got a Facebook page dedicated to this. What's your beer story? What's your weird story presents? What's your beer story? And, you know, we'll be check for the social media explosion. You know, we keep putting stuff out on our Instagram and Facebook and Twitter when I remember, and that's about it, really. We don't have anything else because that's what we go. But and in the meantime, we want to hear your weird stories on the What's Your Weird Story podcast, our regular store podcast.
Yeah, give us your weird stuff. Give us your weird stuff. We want it bad.
Yeah, we need it.
We do. We do. We want it. We crave it. We want it real bad.
Make it weird. Yeah, all right.
Make it weird.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe WHATS hyphen YE WEIRD-STORY, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, that's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, what's your weird story? Currently, there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon, so just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of our shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
Wow. I'm super, super excited that we finally got a exorcist story. An exorcism story. I mean, that's one of those stories that is like a white whale in my world. You know, to find somebody that's actually had that happen to them or someone close to them. That's just great. Weird, but great.
Yeah, that's a total bucket list story. And, I mean, man, I think, you know, the whole time I was telling it, I was just picturing, you know, the scene in the movie and just all the commotion and all the craziness and just how traumatizing that would be for a 5 or 6 year old kid to witness.
Yeah. And you didn't know any of that. You didn't know any of that.
No,
about him, right?
No, I don't think you really, really know a person until they come on What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Yeah. Right.
That's it's true. It reveals a whole other side to a person. That, you know, it's part of the hidden part of their selves, you know, it's, and then that's what we're encouraging. That's what we're doing. We're like, hey, you know, come show somebody else this weird story that you've been carrying around, or in Corey's case, this totally normal story that you've had around. That's not at all. And that should be shared. And it's really cool because, I mean, you get to know somebody, and the listeners get to know that somebody, I guess, you know, if not personally, they at least get to know their experience, you know, this weird experience that they've had. And that's a vulnerability, but also it's a strength because it's a really cool thing that, you know, you can do. You're like, hey, you know, I'll tell you about this. I'll open myself up to tell you guys and then tell the world. And it's really, it's awesome that we get to do that. We get to hear that. We get to experience that all together. So
yeah, and he had a lot of good. He had a lot of good stories. A lot of good ones.
He really did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, we got a lot of bang for our buck on that one. You know, I guess, you know, for lack of a better term. And we talked a little bit off air afterwards, and he had some more really interesting stories that we're not going to broadcast because they're maybe a little too personal or something of that nature.
Or something, yes. They're a whole other realm of weird.
It is a whole other realm of weird. And we can't go into it any further than that. But those are great, and, you know, and we really appreciate we appreciate Corey coming on. And didn't he like kind of corner you, Jeff, to say, how come you haven't had me on? How come you haven't asked me to be on your podcast?
He really did. You know, he heard about it. And but I mean, just like I said, you know, I was like, Corey, I didn't know you had any weird stories. You've got to come to me. So
yeah, you're always the normal guy, Corey.
Right.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, you know, he had stories. He thought we were, you know, well, he was going to tell us a whole batch of other stories, but then after he listened to an episode and kind of saw what we were about, he did just happen to have all those wonderful ghost and exorcism stories. So, what a find! It was
fantastic.
Great.
And who I mean, as a young kid, who would you tell that to? I mean, I know that for him in that time, it was normal to him, but anyone outside of that. I don't know, as a young kid, who you would tell that, oh, well, you know, my sister had an exorcism this weekend, and, you know, I'm everybody got a, you know, bowl of popcorn and hung out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Nobody really would. I mean, I don't know who you would tell that to, you know? So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Interesting. And
there's really, you know, like he said, he thought it was normal for the longest time because probably, you know, if he did try to tell kids at school about it, mm-hmm. they're not going to know what the hell he's talking about.
Exactly.
You know, they're not going to say, whoa, that's crazy, man. I never knew that was going on over
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't have probably been until he was old enough yeah. to talk to people that had some idea what an exorcism was that he found out that that is not something that happens in everyone's household as they're growing up. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy, man.
Regardless, it sounded like a fun house to grow up in.
Yeah. Yeah. That and then really the other true. House too, the Borden house.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the house that Milk built, you know, the dairy empire that is Borden. That's a big brand out,
big
you know,
big time.
And, yeah. You know, that's just to see the ghost there as well. I mean, you know, and I wonder if it's something that as he got older, if it's just like, you know, children are more perceptive of these things, it seems, and or can be. And I wonder if it's just kind of something that, you know, went away because he said he had this other place where his new house where he fully expected it to be haunted.
Right.
But there was nothing.
That's what I was wondering too. That's a good point that you bring that up. I always think that if you're perceptive, if you have that much happen to you as a young kid, that there's something about you, but maybe mm-hmm. over time, some of it wears off as you grow mm-hmm. older and you sort of get that sort of hardened shell that, you know, adults do,
yeah.
you know, you, yeah. you get a little bit more refined in your way of thinking. And that's a good point. But the fact that he had all that happen.
Yeah.
I think he would probably know if he had any sort of inclination of something like that happening, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was kind of, as he was talking, I wondered too, you know, with the activities that his mother and grandmother were, you know, participating in, it was kind of like an open door policy for mm-hmm. a ghost.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that facilitated, you know, more of an ease for them to come in and, you know, or more of a, you know, just making him more aware of the possible things that were going on around and kind of looked at things, you know, with wider open eyes.
Right.
Well, I definitely, you know, it definitely could have been a, you know, an open door kind of thing, because, like, I mean, you know, if you go looking for trouble or you go looking for you know, something weird, chances are you're gonna find it, or it's gonna find you. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Not all the time, but you know, I mean, it's, you know, you could be inviting the experience. So I don't know, it's you know, I would love though, I would love to see if he could find either the UFO videotape or any of the audio stuff. I wonder if, you know, yeah. any of that has anything on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could just, in my mind, I'm picturing a small house with a, you know, a grandma and a mom and just listening on an old cassette recorder, mm-hmm. you know, the one that's like the size of a shoebox, you know.
Yeah, with 6D batteries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're sitting there and they're both chain smoking cigarettes, drinking Dr. Pepper because it's Texas.
Yeah.
You know, chain smoking cigarettes and just kind of leaning over, you know, and listening to the, you know, see if they could hear any ghosts or anything like that. That's just,
you know, I kind of got to think that they had to have had some positive recordings for them to do it as much as, you know, he said they were doing it for them to do it because after a while you're just gonna be like, this shit didn't work.
Unless you have
some hits. Yeah,
but then again you say that, but it's often the quest to find something that drives people. And even if you don't have hits or anything like that, you still are trying to do it, because, like, you know, I mean, think about all the people who are out looking for UFOs and never seeing, or who are out looking for Bigfoot.
That's,
you know,
true. That's
and,
true.
And, you know, just people that are out searching, but we just, you know, and we have, human beings have that inquisitive nature. And so who knows, you know, maybe they did find hear stuff. You know, I mean, they, you know, and he said his mom was into, you know, black magic or whatever, something along the lines of that. And that could have been another way that there was a porthole or something. You know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, all of it, you know, adds up to make sense to where these things would occur if, you know, all this was happening. So,
yeah.
You know, and it culminated with the exorcism, and you know, I wonder if, you know, there's more. It's almost too bad that he was so young, to probably not have a lot of more developed memories of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, other than the ones that he did, which were obviously very impactful. So
yeah, yeah, he's still telling the story to this day. So, you know, great stuff. We appreciate him coming on. And,
yeah.
Anybody else that has stories like that, or maybe it touched on something that you recall, that something that happened to you in your childhood, or maybe something more recent even, just, you know, think about reaching out to us
and
getting on here and telling your story.
Mm-hmm. Your normal ass weird stories. All right. Well, hey, everybody, thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. Thanks again, Corey, for coming on and sharing those awesome stories. Thank you, Jeff, for tuning in from or joining us rather from on vacation with the family there, taking a little bit of time out to help us with the you know, getting us all together and coordinated with your buddy.
It was great to have a little break from the swimming pool, man. I could reapply my suntan lotion. Go back out confident again.
And you're in the prime spot for UFOs, man.
So, oh, yeah, man.
Gotta go, dude. You gotta go do that. You gotta.
Well, we may have to look into that UFO tour. Noreen is very excited about it, so we'll see what's up.
Good.
But hey, man, you know what happens if you go on this tour? You know what could happen, dude. You know what could happen?
What's that?
You get around to some anal probing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be very exciting. Money well spent.
Hey, it's vacation. You know what I mean?
That's
it's
true. Vacation. That's true. What happens in Sedona on a UFO tour stays in Sedona on a UFO tour.
Oh, make sure Noreen doesn't listen to this one. All right. Well, I think we should probably wrap it up now.
Yeah. Since,
it's maybe the last time Jeff's with us. So, you know.
Well, thanks again, guys. This has been great.
Yeah,
and thank you, Corey.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be safe. I can barely even remember it. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.